Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
The main event. Folks, you know that Bob and I just got back from India, and just encourage... We'll, at the end of this video, we'll pray for Rick and Colleen's amazing opportunity partnering with them to plant churches among Muslims in India, northern India specifically. Incredible opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity to go on one of these incredible trips. But another way you can help is starting today, gang, we are partnering. One of the ways we're partnering with them is one of the gentlemen who's come out of Islam, loves Jesus, and is doing an amazing job. Rick is actually discipling this man, and he's leading a whole group of pastors, all have come out of Islam, who are loving people with the love of Christ in northern India and the western part of India. Anyway, this man is Din, is his name. I had Bob and I had a chance to have dinner with them in their little apartment. The way he supports his family in the ministry is he roasts coffee. And so we are importing coffee to support this, and it is great coffee. And you can buy some actually in our cafe. We're going to start using it in there and just selling it in little pound bags and or kilo, whatever they are. And we got to, you get ready for the video? Just want you to check this out. It's pretty awesome.
Giving him the next few minutes to tell you about himself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have to give thanks to my Lord and give him good opportunities. So now I'm many way, many languages, and I'm walking among the Muslim people. And God gave me good family, my wife, my daughter, Isha, my son, even God gave me opportunity to work, my self-support. So I have a coffee roastery business. So from the coffee roastery business, I am supporting for my ministry, my family. And this money I'm helping for my church planting sometimes. So let's see, I'll show you how I'm doing this business, how I'm roasting. I'm doing actually a church planting work among the Muslim people. My language is Bengali. So my heart for work, Bengali community people. I'm working among the West Bengal Bengali Muslim people from my same district. And now presently we have 28 leaders, those who are working among the Muslim people, who chooses different place from MVP background. And we are working that place. And the last 4 years back, we started the ministry by the grace of God. Now we have a 400 team, 10 local prayer group for Chamath and for us. And my mission, 2017, we have a plan, more 400 team, Chamath church, like, yeah. And not only that, I have a good business. Yes, so thank you so much. I only give thanks for that God's Road Church. So that church is continuing praying for our ministry, for my work, for our India. So thank you, I give thanks for that God's Road Church. And especially I give thanks for my business, because they're doing great for me and for us. And this good thing I'm doing, you know, and they are purchasing from me. And my prayer also continue, they can purchase from me and can help our Indian church like to work out. So thank you, Father. And thank you, my Lord, if you don't have to talk about this, my work and ministry.
Folks, that man is filled with joy, right? Coming out of bondage, and you can just, if you're in his house, they serve you like a king. And they don't have much, but they are doing phenomenal things. You don't need much except faith. And when you have faith, you can move mountains, and God does unbelievable things. He's impacting a whole area of India, that man and his family. And folks, I just encourage you. We've been drinking that coffee since I got back from India. It's good. But not only is it good, but when you drink it and you can buy a bag, even we'll have bags offered here, and we're going to keep importing it. Is just remember, it's just an awesome reminder, isn't it? As you drink your cup of coffee, not only do you know where the man, and by the way, Rick is discipling him, and Colleen work intimately with them. And you are going to have opportunity to go and visit them and be a part of the equipping process there. It's awesome what is happening, folks. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, obviously, about Islam, especially the radical end of it. But, folks, you know what? It's ultimately bombs don't solve anything, which we know. Wars don't solve anything. You know what solves something is when somebody's heart's changed. When a man, right, is overcome with the joy of the Lord and Jesus fills his heart, the world changes, right? The world changes. The pastors he works with, they're under persecution. The testimonies for you to go and to sit, listen to these Muslim background believers talk about how they're living, and because of the love of the Lord, what they're willing to endure and suffer to get the love of Christ out to their brethren, it'll radically change your life, right? So buy some coffee, all right? Drink more coffee. But man, well, he's such a joy. Den, I mean, he's a character. But so exciting stuff. You're going to hear more about that. We'll let you know about some upcoming trips and opportunities and just give you an update. Hopefully, Rick and Colleen will be with us for G3, first week of February next year, to share more and to invite you personally to be with them for an awesome adventure. Okay? Got to get out of our little comfort up Aspen here and not just go for a nice tourist kishi vacation. You got to go see the world and see what God is doing. Just a little side note. You know what? When you go to a nice, kitschy little umbrella drinking place, that's cool. We need a little downtime. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? That is not really where the presence of God is working. I want you to think about that. All right? When you come back from a trip like this, you come back with a deposit. Something that breeds life. Okay? All right, enough of that. We're going to get more into that. Folks, welcome to G3 Culture. This is our new series. I'm excited about this. We're going to take about 10 weeks just leading up to July, and then we're going to kick off our summer series in July, and which I'm really excited about too. But this is the building blocks of who we are. I'm going to just take these 10 weeks, and we're going to journey through our DNA. Those of you who've been through Next Steps, you've seen our leadership manual, you've become part of the church, you've read through our kind of 11, 12 paragraphs that really talk about the kind of culture, right, that we want to see happen here in the church. Now, there's a lot of talk, especially if you're in corporate America, about a culture. What is the culture of our business? What's the culture of our organization? It's a powerful word. Simply put, folks, you know what culture is? Culture is simply this. culture is what we do with the world that has been given to us. Did you think about that? Culture is what we do with the world that has been given to us. Your home has a culture. And you have been working and you create everything from the atmosphere when somebody walks in that home to what they see, to what they experience, to how they feel. That is a culture. And when somebody walks in and they see the books that are on your bookshelf, when they hear the music and the atmosphere, when they see the orderliness or not so orderliness or whatever it is there is an experience there, and they are getting in more information and really generating and experiencing the culture of this place. Is it a welcoming place? Is it a place of life, or is it a place of strife? Culture, right? And I know many of you in the marketplaces, in the institutions in our city, whether it be the police, whether it be the school system, right? As a leader, we're called to create culture and to pull all the pieces in to create something that is healthy, something that is welcoming, something that is transforming. You know, all these different words we use. Now, folks, this goes all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, doesn't it? When God created man, he created us in his image. So ultimately, God wants a relationship with us. But in Genesis 1, he says this, the purpose, he says, he commissions Adam and Eve, and he says to go out, and he says, take dominion. I've created this. Now you steward it. Make culture. Cultivate some culture. Take what I've given you, the blessings of this world and the life I've given you, do something with it. Do something beautiful with it, right? Bring it together, cultivate it. Whether you're a farmer and you cultivate the ground and you do something, you bring what? A produce. If you're an accountant, you take numbers and you produce something beautiful, right? Whatever it may be. If you're a teacher, if you're an artist, you create things. You bring things together, right? And you create culture and you cultivate culture. Now, here's the deal. All the way back to the Genesis is what happened is that man, when they moved out of the garden because of their rebellion, is basically the first sin of Adam and Eve was, you know what? We're better off creating our own culture. I'm going to create my world, God, without you. And the rest of the Bible, folks, is a story of the consequence of man creating culture on his own with rejecting God and God pursuing us and restoring us back to healthy culture in a partnership with him. That's the big overarching story. And so for each of us, we have to ask, where am I at in that process? Have I been, and the Genesis 12 is the first real big picture of the Tower of Babel. Why, you know, you maybe, hopefully you've heard of that story. It's the first big thing where man came together to build this huge tower to the heavens, rejecting God, and because they came together and they thought they were great and that they were going to create this incredible one world, one government, one powerful nation. Folks, this has been what's behind really every movement, every government, everything from the history of time. This is the pride of saying all we need is science. This is the pride of saying, you know what, we can, with our technology, this is nothing new under the sun. But I simply ask you, in the macro level, how has that gone? How has that, if you look back through history, how does it look when we reject God from our culture making in our own lives? How does it look in our marriages? How does it look in our relationships? How does it look in our life? How does it look in our soul when we've tried to create life, create culture without God? And this is why I sent Jesus, to restore us back to a place where it's a partnership. And man, when man and God come together, and folks, do you realize that this is ultimately what heaven is all about? Not sitting around, twiddling our thumbs, singing Kumbaya in a cloud, twiddling our harp. No, no. It's getting busy with God. It is going to be such pure, cultivating, glorious partnership, restoring all the purity of culture, without the distraction of the flesh, of sin, of death. All of that justice, pure justice being in place. This is the training ground. The restoration time. The church in the world is to be the lighthouse, the beacon, to show the world what healthy culture looks like when God and man partner together. And God restores that. And that culture, that experience is to flow out from the church into every area of life, business, the home, the marketplace, the school systems, hospitals, you name it, the entertainment industry, and to take pictures and vision of what healthy culture looks like and to plant it out there as beautiful seeds of restoration, of what good. And just use an illustration, art blows my mind. To me, it's, we have lost, in other words, and it should be common sense. You take a young person and you show them a lot of modern art. Simple questions. One question for art. Is it edifying? Is it edifying? If it's not, okay, it is not bringing anything positive to this culture or to anybody who looks at it. Is it edifying? Does it build up? Does it bring something glorious? Right? Does it inspire something beautiful in those who look at it? Same with music. Anything. Does it edify? Does it build up? That's why that word is so important when it comes to when the church gathers together. Edify. Build each other up. And that building up should flow out into all of our culture, making all that we do. And we should have a higher sensitivity to the darkness, to those things, right, in culture that are that are tearing things down, right? Look at TV, right? Entertain anything, right? These are the questions we should be asking. And so what I want to do this morning is bring this back very specifically in this series when we're talking about G3 culture. Folks, our G3 culture is summed up in three words. You should know them: grace, growth, and greater things. And everything we do flows out of those three biblical imperatives and blessings for God's people. God's people are to be not only people, but families and a community and a family, church family, that just grace permeates everything. And all the blessings of grace. Grace, folks, means God's unmerited favor, his gifting upon his people. Okay? It's an exploration of all of that glorious gifting. It's a place of growth, transformation. Moving from the old life, living in the flesh, away from God, coming to be restored back to God. Healing, right? Restoration, redemption, all these beautiful words. And finally, greater things. Greater things, Jesus says, you'll do greater things. When the Spirit of God is upon you, the resurrection power of Jesus is within you, I partner with you, and the presence of God is among you, and nothing is impossible. All things are possible. All things can happen. Grace, growth, and greater things. And so we're just going to, in these next few weeks, break down those three things and talk about some specific things. This morning, I want to talk about cultivating a culture of faith. Cultivating a culture of faith, okay? And if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn, or it's on the screen as well, we're going to look at a little section of Scripture at the very end of 2 Corinthians, verses chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And this is Paul's... final farewell in the writing of this second letter to the church in Corinth, which he planted early on. Now, just a little background before we read these verses is that Paul planted this church. He had visited them a few times, and he had to correct them in his first letter, and this is another even deeper, more sorrowful correction in this letter to bring them in alignment with everything that God is. He's calling them as they're back to restore their hearts in union and blessing to Christ Jesus. And he ends this letter and he says this, finally, brothers, we should have on the screen, finally, brothers, and that word Adelphi means brothers and sisters in plural, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Ah, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What is Paul doing? He's saying, church, hold on to this amazing culture. Stimulate, build, cultivate this culture of partnership with the presence of God. And folks, do not miss the promise here. And it's all through the scripture. When God's people look to God and say, God, come, show us how to build a healthy culture. He says, the promise is, in the love and the peace of God, it will be with you. It will be with you. And the whole idea of culture making, the whole idea of developing a culture of faith, right, is our goal, our motivation. It must be, Lord, I want your presence. I want your hand on this. I want you to be right here. And folks, I just ask you a simple question, just as you think about the culture of your home. Is there a passion? And is the reason why you do what you do with your home? Now, this could get a little meddling. What is the motivation for your home? How you decorate it? How much money you spend? The artwork? How you use it? What's your motivation? Is your ultimate motivation to show off? Be comfortable? Or is it that the presence of God, the peace of God, the love of God would reside in that place, and that anyone who walks in there, the hope would be that their hearts would be overwhelmed? And folks, I ask you to take it to your marriage. Take it to your place of work. Wherever you work, what are you doing? What motivates us to do our work every single day? Why do we do what we do? Do you want the presence of God there? Do you want His favor upon what you do? Or do you want to just make as much money as you can? Or do you just want the accolades of this or that? Or are you just getting by working for the weekend so you can play? What's our motivation? This gets at the core of whether God's presence is with us or not. And if I take that into every single area of my life, the ultimate motivation needs to be, God, I want you here. Here. I want you here. Why do we do what we do here at the church? I mean, is it just so that the community can say, oh, well done, Crossroads, or that we can have people say, oh, man, that was a great message, Steve, or that was a great word, Beck and Brian, or man, what great music. No. Let me drill it down. Everything we do, Grace, 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 things, has one primary purpose. God, we want you here. We want you pleased with this family. We want your power. We want your presence. We want your love. We want your grace. And we stand on this promise that your peace, your love is going to, you promise you'll be here if we come in partnership with you, obey your word in the sense of developing a God-honoring culture of faith. Does that make sense? All right, let me drill in here. This is awesome. So I'm just going to take us, folks, there's so much here in these words, but I'm just going to take you through. There is, in the text, in the Greek, when you get into it, each of these things is an imperative. Now, those folks, I didn't do well in grammar at any level, especially when it came to the Greek or Hebrew. But I got enough to know that these are imperatives. And when you study the grammar, an imperative, what? Is an exhortation. Go do it. Right? It's a command. Okay, and there's six of them, key critical imperatives here that should be part of our culture making, that if we obey these, God's promises, he will rest here. He will do amazing, miraculous things here. The first one of these is, church, rejoice. 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 What has to permeate our individual lives, if you go to the next slide, please, is rejoicing. And that goes for any time, any circumstance in my life. The thing that should characterize God's people is a heart that rejoices. Now, why is this so important? All through the scripture, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in Him, church. And what, this is why we gather together, is to, maybe think of it this way, is to rejoice ourselves. Because you know what? It doesn't take much. As soon as we go out those doors, right, and we start getting hit with all the to-dos and everything in the world and all the stuff going on, is, you know what? Joy is robbed quickly from our lives every single day. It's a battle. And folks, let me tell you again, joy is not just something you can go out and ski a powder day or hike these beautiful mountains. Okay, that does not instill joy in and of itself. It'll do some good physical things and some other things. Joy, folks, is a fruit of the Spirit. It is only possible miraculously by the presence of God on our lives. It's the fruit. It's what the Spirit brings forth, joy. And it has to be fought for. It just doesn't happen. And this is what constantly Paul is saying, rejoice, church. When you come together, when you sing, the point of singing is to rejoy ourselves in the Lord. And is to set our hearts on all that He is, all that He's done for us. And if we are true to the faith and true to what Jesus has done for us, we, among all the people in the world, we have no excuse, no matter how bad things get, to be people of joy. If He's done this for me, secured my eternal life, taken all my sin, shame, and all my guilt, and given me an eternal purpose and plan, and promises to be with me, never to leave me, no one can snatch me out of His hands, I got a lot to rejoice about. And then He promises His power of spirits to be available in my life when troubles hit. I got a lot to rejoice about. Ah, folks, does our society need some joy? I am telling you what, it is on short supply. And I'm telling you, so many churches, it's short supply. When people enter into God's house, where His people are gathering, whether it be a small group, whether it be a larger group, whatever it may be, the thing that should hit them is, man, there's joy in this house. And the world can be at war outside, and this is what the early church did, but there's joy in the house. Does that make sense? When they step into your house, do people experience joy? Or is the TV on all the time? Is there distraction? Is there strife? Is there chaos? Or is there peace? God desires to come into His house, our house, and most of all this house, and bring joy. So, the culture of faith, it is a culture of joy. It is a culture where people come. It's not just singing songs. It is with a heart, God, I need some joy. It's been robbed from me all this week. I am struggling. God, strengthen, strengthen. Bring joy alive. Restore me. Rejoice. Aim for restoration. Aim for restoration. What is Paul getting at here? As one who likes to aim things at targets and shoot, I know that the point of that is you got to, right, the whole course is taking aim. And what Paul is saying is aim for restoration. Is that our goal, the target here as we gather together, should be that restoration takes over. Folks, this is an incredible, beautiful word. Let me break it down. This word right here is the only time that word is used in the New Testament Greek. What does that mean? You take special note if you're studying. You go and study that word. And what that word means, folks, in multiple levels, first of all, it means, and it's a medical term that means the repairing of broken bones. It's the bringing together of something that has been separated and restoring it back to health and wholeness. It is a political word in ancient Greek used where warring political parties are reconciled with respect. Huh? It is a word used, another form of it, in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking about the equipping of the saints. The restoring, the building, and the equipping, and the building up of the saints. Aim for restoration. When anybody walks in the house of God, the culture that should be experienced is one of incredible hope. No matter how bad things have gotten, no matter how terrible things are emotionally, physically, mentally, circumstantially, whatever it is there is hope for restoration in this house. And there is help for restoration in this house. The culture of church, the family of God, we come together is to encourage, help each other aim for restoration. Focus on the promises of God. Remove the fear. Put your eyes on faith. This is what God can do. He restores. And folks, aiming at restoration, part of that process is giving testimony. Is that among God's people is that we stand up and we give testimony, glory to God for his restoration in our lives. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you how he's restored marriage, relationship, parent-child relationship. Let me tell you what he's done. Let me tell you how he's covered my shame, my darkness. Let me tell you how he's put joy. Let me tell you how he's defeated fear. Let me tell you how he's destroyed generational trauma and darkness in my life. Aim for restoration, church. Rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Now, folks, it's interesting, again, this is why it's important to kind of dig a little deeper here, is this goes two ways. Paul says, look for a culture of faith, for a healthy culture where God's presence just resides and moves supernaturally, is that it has to be a culture where we are coming here and we're looking to encourage each other. Not just how you doing, oh good, but to get below the surface. Man, I want to encourage you. And that word means to encourage, to exhort. That means to say the hard stuff, the truth in love, right? To push each other, right? And be willing to push each other towards, right, the aiming towards what God has for their life. But it also, because of the tense in the verb here in the Greek, it can be taken as a passive tense, which means that it also says be willing to receive. Be willing, church, to receive encouragement. Come into this place, not just what ready to give. Brian's already mentioned this, but be willing to receive. He talked last week. Come on, open up your heart. Be willing to receive from God revelation, but we really receive encouragement from others in the body. Be willing to receive a correction. Be willing to receive someone speaking boldly into your life in an area you need correction. I need correction. That's a culture of faith. That's a culture where God starts moving, right? Because that's a culture of vulnerability, isn't it? And do you realize that there is no change without being vulnerable? If I don't open my heart up, I'm going nowhere. Do you understand that? Men especially. If I don't move from this to this, do you realize there is no life change? You're blocking God out. His presence cannot rest. And it's by his grace that he starts this process. The culture should be one of, man, this is a place of grace. Come on, we all got junk. Let's rejoice in the grace that covers that junk and frees me up to give testimony of what God has done. Encourage each other. Comfort each other. Rejoice, church. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. What does that mean? Paul says, come on, church, you need to be a culture of faith, a culture where God moves and does great things. He says, you got to agree with one another. There's got to be a unity of thought in the house. Okay, which is completely opposite of what is out there, which says, hey, believe what you want to believe. Think how you want to think. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says very clearly, you have the mind, the capability we all to have the mind of Christ. To think like he thinks. It requires, though, bringing our thoughts, our decisions, our lifestyles into alignment with the Word of God. To live like Christ. To obey his commands. And so it says to agree with one another. In other words, get rid of the strife. Get rid of the argument. Come to the Word of God and agree on what this says. And again, I say it all the time to you. It doesn't really matter so much what I say. You need to take what I say and make sure it's what the Word of God says. Because your faith doesn't need rest in Steve or anybody else in here. Your faith, my faith, has to rest in the Word of God. And God moves in a heart, in a home, in a business, in a church. Where there's a unity of faith that says, God, we are surrendered to your word. It doesn't matter what culture says, and a matter of fact is that there isn't ever this blending of the value system of agreement in the church is not going to be the same because that's the world. And the world is always moving what? To create culture without God. To try to do something without God. It will always deteriorate into something that is away from God. in the church. The goal of leadership, pastoral ministry, is that let's come into agreement. It's not my opinion. It's what does this say? So church, encourage each other. Come into agreement with each other. Rejoice and frustration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. Live in peace. Man. You know what I'm talking about? You ever entered a place and you're just like, oh, it's a place of peace. It's a place of peace. Most of all right here, right? And again, we just look at our home and folks, most of all, for God to his presence to move, the church as the body comes together has to, this has to be a place of peace. Right? Where you could just rest and hear God and just kind of get renewed, right? A place where there isn't strife. There's hope. Oh, we bring all of our stuff in, but there's a sense of peace. God, you're at work. You're working. I'm trusting you with this. You got this, God. Folks, listen to me. A place of peace is a place that does not stand or give fear any foothold. A place of peace is a place where fear cannot take over. A place of peace is where fear, if it has a hold in our lives, it gets riled up. It gets moved out. It's a place of faith. And that fear disappears and faith takes hold. Live in peace with each other and with God. God desires to come. He longs for his presence to move among us, in our hearts, among how we treat one another, in the culture of who we are, to be people living at peace with each other, not in strife. So live at peace. And the promise here is that God of love and peace, he'll be with us. And he has made the way that we have peace with him, and therefore we're to live in peace, right, with each other. The final imperative, verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Now, folks, you know, for a long time, I bought this lie that, hey, you know what, I'm just not a huggy, touchy-feely kind of guy. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, nice to meet you. That's great. God bless you, you know? And it's just, you know, just kind of stiff and white guy in general, you know? And I held that, and it's been great for a long, long time. But years ago, and you hear it all the time, don't you? Hey, I'm just not a touchy-feely kind of guy, you know? So I want to just be real clear. There is not the option for that in the house of God. Gentlemen, specifically. But when someone... When the Spirit of God takes over, one of the things that should characterize the house of God, the culture, is it is a culture of greeting. And folks, let me just give you a little history here. Do you realize that, you know, we kind of pass over that thing, but that is a radical statement to the known world at the time. In the known world at the time, what Paul is saying here, and there was, what was happening in the church, was that Gentiles, Jews, and they'd enter into worship and they would embrace each other, brother, sister. You don't understand what a big deal that was. Listen carefully. Masters, slaves would enter into the house of God, brother, sister. Women, men would enter into the house of God and they would embrace each other, sister, brother. Unheard of anywhere in the world. It is a picture of the family of God that goes on for eternity. And when we enter into this place, we need to learn how to greet each other with joy. As members of God's family. Now, granted, that doesn't mean, you know, there's some people we've never met before, so don't get me wrong. But there's power in a hug, and there's been a lot of talk, what is the holy kiss? And basically, it's just a greeting. So whatever culture, and here's the other thing, is in the church that is a blend and should be of every tongue, tribe, and nation, every culture, the beauty that every culture brings into it. Some cultures, you know, the Brits, they're pretty stiff, right? But you go to South America, and I'm telling you, you're going to probably get a smacker on one cheek and a smacker on the other cheek, you know, and a nice warm break. You know, it's different. In the house of God, the greeting should just be holy, brother, sister, whatever that greeting is. So we're going to practice. Stand up, everybody. And give somebody a hug, all right? Give somebody a hug. Oh, yes. That's cheating. Come on. Give me a hug. God bless you, man. Yes, sir. God bless you, man. Man, all these huggers. I'm transforming. God is changing me. Slowly but surely. Woo. Guys, a little testimony. And we had a, on, oh, what, I'm just lost. When was the, when did we have the, when was the memorial service? That was Tuesday night. Huh? Yeah. Tuesday night. The school system did an amazing job of, I think I mentioned to you, you know, Julie Rourke and her memorial on Tuesday night. And, you know, I haven't even come to this passage yet, but it was a transforming, I think I mentioned to you, you know, Julie Rourke and her memorial on Tuesday night. And, you know, I haven't even come to this passage yet, but it was a transforming moment. That when Greg, her husband, got up to speak, is he just, you know, which is amazing that he pulled that off. But he just had every, there's probably, what, 200-300, you know, people in that theater. He just, hey, just before I start, just get up and hug somebody. And so what had been a real tense, solemn kind of time, immediately, I just stood back after I hugged a couple of people. It's tough, but I did it. Yeah. I can do it. I can do it. So actually, you know, it's so funny. Lord, this is really, you know, it's just, the Lord has really been, you know, it's something simple, but there's something profound to simple things like that, right? So, but it changed the environment of that place. Folks, that is what should happen every Sunday. That is what people desperately need, right? Whether you're a hugger or not a hugger, you need to be greeted and to know you're welcome and to know you're cared for, that somebody notices. It is profound. But when you look at the history behind this and what was going on, it was profound what was happening. Now let me go a little deeper. I grew up in a family that was a little stiff, right? It's, boy, there's something about a softening that takes place, right? Of just being able to embrace each other. Not too long. That's another lesson. That's another sermon. all right. Does that make sense, gang? Be a family. Man, people walk in here, they should be welcome. And let me just commend you all. The thing I hear about all the time, man, this is such a welcoming place. I hear it every week, literally. People who travel in from all around or people who are here. So well done. Let's spur some effort behind that with a sense of understanding why we're to do that. Okay? Greet one another. Holy kiss. You know, if you're going to kiss, or if you're going to hug matey, you're going to get a nice smacker. It's awesome. Kiss, kiss. That's her deal, right? Love it. Love it. Awesome. Matey does an unbelievable job of setting the culture of this show. She in here? Oh, I see her. She's like, no, don't say anything. Don't talk about me. But you do. Well done. Unbelievable job of setting the culture of this church. Awesome. Finally, gang, the last verse, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Folks, God's presence is Trinitarian. And in verse 5, let me just step back in this chapter, Paul exhorts the church, he says this, examine yourselves, listen carefully, to see whether you're in the faith. Examine your hearts regularly. What's going on in here? Is there faith? Are these things taking hold? Examine yourself, church, as a whole. Man, is there faith in the house? Test yourselves, church. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed, it says, you fail to meet the test. What is he saying here? It's church, come on. There's nothing more important than to evaluate. Is faith alive? Is faith alive here? Is faith alive here? And so I just want to give you, we have got to, if you'll go to that last slide, please, the questions, is we have to create some faith questions, a renewed sense of talking to each other about our faith. And so I just want to give you a few because we follow a triune God. And to grow in the fullness of God, we have got to grow in our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. They're one, but do you realize that we fellowship and experience them differently? Okay? So just some questions. Do you know the grace of Jesus? Are you living in that today? Is he your Savior and Lord? Was there a point in time where you surrendered your heart and life to him? These are the kind of questions we should be operating at all the time. Brother, do you know something of the grace of God? Are you out there living and are you all caught up in shame and guilt again? Or are you living under the freedom of grace? Grace entitles, it is a word of all the gifting of God poured out upon us. And we can pursue it and lay hold of it. It is what energizes us. It is what separates Christianity from every other philosophy, everything in the world. It's that the goodness of God comes to us by grace. You can't do anything for it except give it to me, God. Give it to me. Transform the soul. Make it a place of grace. Flow your love, your presence through this place. Are you experiencing the grace of Jesus? Do you know the love of the Father? Folks, John 14:6 makes it very clear, and let's be really clear and come into agreement on the Word of God. John 14:6 says, no one comes to the Father except through the name above all names, Jesus. If there's any flirting with us, this just, I mean, I was going to be very clear with us, all of us, come to agreement together. There is no knowing Jesus if he's just one of many. You can't come to him that way. That's not coming to his grace. He's the one and only. It's a commitment. He hasn't opened that door. His teaching was clear. He's the only way to the Father. He is the only Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father. And Jesus introduces us to the Father, into the love of God. Folks, we get our identity from our Father. We get the stamp of approval, affirmation of who we are, if we're significant, from our Father. It's Jesus who brings us into that experience of our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He stamps over us, approved, loved, significant. And folks, if we have wounds, if we have things in our past, it's only the love of the Father that can cover and bring healing and restoration to our lives. Do you know something of the love of the Father? All emotional trauma, problems, bondage, everything, wheels right down to the core issue. I am not sure of the love of my Heavenly Father. When you're sure of it, when the grace of Jesus is over you, when the love of the Father, Romans 5, is over you, there's a freedom, there's a joy, a childlike freedom. I hope you know that. I hope you've experienced that. This is the kind of discussion we should be having. Finally, do you know something of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Derek, y'all come on up. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you know something of the reality of the experience of God working in and through you? The kindred spirit of doing ministry with someone, the idea of God having God's blessing, the gifts of the Spirit flow through you. The fruit of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those, as well as the gifts that come. Do you know something of that? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? We've got to get comfortable with that question, folks. If that makes you feel uncomfortable, then guess what? You just answered the question. We've got to encourage each other. So what? We push each other onto the fullness of what God has for us. Oh, the Lord desires to be with us. He desires to move among us. He desires to raise faith in this place. Let's cultivate a culture of faith. And let's see the mighty things that God does. Father, thank you for this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd move. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you'd move us in a time of ministry, Lord, where God, you would do the miraculous. You would change us. Lord, you would change us. Lord, Jesus, come. May your grace be on us. Father, may your love be on us. Do supernatural things here now. Holy Spirit, may your fellowship, your koinonia, that beautiful Greek word, be in this house, God. Come and do it. Only you can do, God. Break the walls down, Lord. Make us vulnerable. Man, just take the masks down. Take the faking down, Lord. Take the poser out, God. Expose us before you, God. Lord, that we might come fully alive, God. Be the people you call us to be. Lord, for your glory and your name, come fill this house. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.